Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You know, Candy, I got to tell you what. I hate it when I show up to work dressed nice because we're going to this thing later on today. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the sheriff shows up looking nicer.
He always looks nice.
I know. Can't compete with all that. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Embarrassed to stand next to you,
but well, it's funny. The joke is, oh, you got court today, but you might have court today.
No, but that's not why. It's Blazer Academy graduation, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm in the kind of our Blazer Academy graduation uniform, which again, as you recall, we provide the kids go through our program with a pair of khakis, the pants, the belt, and the tie. Just basically, they look like I do, maybe a little smaller version. of what I do. And so, and obviously on our graduation day, we all dress the same. So we're all wearing the blazers. It makes for a pretty good picture. And it's the
uniform of manhood, basically, it's in our culture.
What it is. It's what gentlemen, you know, in the past have worn.
And so how many are you graduating tonight?
We got about 20. We want to keep our classes around 20. We had about 40 one time. It was just too many to really give one-on-one. So yeah. We've reduced the numbers to between 20 to 24.
How many other agencies have started? I know you've had a lot of inquiries. I know you've gone around and talked to other people. How many other agencies has this seeded into actual programs so far? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that some of them have asked for our curriculum. There's been probably a handful that's asked for our curriculum. And some of them will already have a mentorship program.
So they just kind of adapt.
They morphed it into kind of what we do. They added the blazer. They added some of them have literally exactly copied it. You know, I know that. I just don't know exactly what. And I get that. I mean, you know, if I see another program that has an aspect that we want to add to ours, then we'll add that little piece to it. The unique piece this time was we added a little bit of financial management. We had someone come in from Central Credit Union. And we also had a gentleman by the name of Chad Mattson. I don't know if you know his story, but he was arrested for DUI manslaughter and served, you know, 12 years in prison for having a couple drinks at work. And then he ended up, unfortunately, killing an individual on a bicycle. And so we had him come in to talk to the kids as well. So we've had a couple of guest speakers this class that were willing to come and help us out.
That's great. It's a fantastic program. I can't say enough good about it. Let's talk about some of the events we've had this past week. Going back to our conversation from last week, prior to last week's interview, we had the shooting at Carver Park, this giant unsanctioned party, a couple thousand people all of a sudden getting together. Three people got shot in that incident.
Right.
Where are we at on following up on that?
Yeah, we're still looking at it. We have the obviously a lot of the video footage that we had from the scene. The one that kind of sticks in my mind is the man walking down the street with a rifle in his hand, and no one seems to be taking that much notice of it. No one seems to be screaming. No one calls us.
What?
In fact, the video of the person that's taking the video is just, look at this guy acting crazy.
What?
Could you give us a call beforehand and let us know? And you know, here's the thing: it's unsanctioned. It's they just decided to meet at the park.
When you say rifle, I mean like a lever action, AR.
It doesn't look like a lever action.
I mean
a cowboy rifle. It looks more like a, you know, I don't know from the video can't tell, but I could surmise that it looks like an AR type of a gun.
Okay, go on.
But anyways, yeah, so that's what happened. Then we had the one on Crescent Drive, which again was kind of was what we call, well, I'll call it an open house party, in that there's
this
invites.
House is tiny. This has got to be like an 800 square foot house. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had over 100 people that were there for hours at a time, you know, coming and going. And at one point, someone that I guess knew of the party showed up there. Asks for where's he at, and looks for and finds, unfortunately, this one individual and shoots and kills him. And then in the process of that also injures three other people, and they were all taken to the, you know, with non-life-threatening injuries, fortunately, but they were taken to the hospital and ultimately released. So, and this, again, the person that's at this house, the person that's having this party, is we're still trying to figure it out. It's a rental. You know, who's renting the house, who owns the house, it's an Airbnb, how did they get permission to use this house?
Yeah.
And also, to be honest, who's responsible? Who had this party? Who decided this would be a good idea? And because you can't have what they call an open house party, where you just let anyone come and you know, drink and that sort of thing. So we're looking at that, and I can guarantee you, if we can charge someone for that, we will do that. In fact, I asked my investigators to look into that origin.
I mean, we have, for example, like, you know, liquor licenses and laws. And I mean, there's a variety of laws that would affect something like that, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, and people can have parties. Everyone has, you know, sure. People, there's hundreds of parties that take place throughout the county every weekend. There's no doubt. But we don't they don't have shootings. They don't erupt in gunfire and that right. sort of thing. And no one knows anything about any who was there. No one knows who started it. No one knows who invited people. No one knows who came with who. And it's just a bit of a mess to try to unravel all of that.
But in spite of the fact that somebody, there was apparently enough knowledge of what was going on at this party that somebody who knew about the party knew who was going to be there enough to show up and shoot that person.
Right. Right.
So clearly the folks in these social circles know exactly what's going on and clearly know who's coming.
Yeah. And again, that's what we're looking at because it's time that these people help get some responsibility in this thing. If you're going to have a party, and if I have a party at my house, I know who's going to come.
Right.
And if someone comes that's not invited, I say, what are you doing, man? Who are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And if someone wants to bring a friend, then they ask you, hey, can I bring a friend? Or you put on the invitation, bring a friend or plus one or bring your family. That's not what's taking place in these things. I think they want a loose affiliation with it, so they're not held responsible. Again, this is over 100 people. That are showing up at this house, and imagine, again, you mentioned it, the parking, and then ultimately with the violence that erupted.
We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. We'll get back to you in just a second. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
All right, watching Pine Forest northbound just past I-10 east on the ramp, that right lane partially blocked. Blue Angel and Sorrento still showing that 3-car accident with emergency crews on scene. Back up at 98 East, right close to the Fox Den in Navarre, a rear-end crash that's still in the roadway, but they are funneling traffic into different areas. So certainly use caution wherever you are, and if you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3 Informative, local dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Two incidents that happened, one since we talked, one before that. We had talked previously about these two 16-year-olds who had shot at each other, and I think one person wound up getting killed in that incident, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And it now looks like, and you had talked at the time about this might have been a self-defense situation,
right.
And turns out, I guess they were homeless. This was at a homeless camp. Is this correct?
Well, the two 16-year-old males were not homeless.
They went
to a homeless camp to buy or obtain drugs with firearms.
So they pull their
guns out and rob the people that are there at the homeless camp. Someone at the homeless camp calls a friend of theirs for help. That guy shows up, and according to the reports and the witnesses that we talked to, these two 16-year-olds open fire on him.
Okay.
Excuse me. And he returns fire, killing one of them, and the other one is arrested, and we end up charging the other one, the other 16-year-old. The surviving 16-year-old with felony murder, because if you're involved in a felony and someone dies as the result of that felony, then you're charged with what we call felony murder.
Okay, so thank you for clarifying. Yeah, that's a whole. I had thought it was the one 16-year-old shot the other 16-year-old, but if they both went to this homeless camp to try to do a felony, commit a robbery, and acquire drugs, and then one gets killed and the other one gets charged, as you said, in the commission of a felony, if somebody dies, you might have pulled the trigger yourself, as far as the law goes. That's the way that
is correct. And we did get guns from the scene for two, both guns are from both of the 16-year-olds.
And just as a side note, I mean, you know, somebody that's this is a problem you sometimes run into. We've had other cases like this where, you know, you might say, well, somebody who's homeless, do they have a permit to carry? Which they won't need after July 1st, but, you know, right now, if they're not a felon or anything like that. Well, you know, they're kind of in their home. If they're in a tent or they're in, you know, the right to self-defense applies to homeless people too. And if they're not otherwise prohibited from having a gun, they're certainly lawfully allowed to have it and to use it in self-defense, right?
That's true. Yeah, this is a little bit complicated. Again, you have
sure.
two 16-year-olds, first of all, who can't carry a gun now, or they won't be able to carry a gun concealed after July 1st either. So they couldn't carry a gun. Then they can't rob people. They can't
right.
pull a gun out and threaten people and rob people. And then when another individual shows up, you can't start shooting at that individual while you're, you know, that's a felony. So there's a lot there. There's a stand your ground on the individual that showed up to help.
Right.
Even though he showed up, he wasn't the one that pulled the gun and started shooting, according to the witnesses. And then, so he ends up killing one of the 16-year-olds. The other 16-year-old is being charged with felony murder. So again, there's a lot there. They're still 16. They both allegedly had guns. They started it, and there was a self-defense. There's a felony murder, and then unfortunately, there's an individual that was killed.
Thank you for clarifying all of that. That's really useful. The other one that happened since you and I talked is this Circle K incident where a couple of guys were harassing the employee, the clerk, out on the beach. It was a fairly busy. The Circle mm-hmm. K is always busy. And they leave, go out the front door, and he follows them with a gun that he then acquired, according to the video. And it's only the one video we've seen.
Right.
He goes out and he fires a couple of shots. And my thought is, you know, as many times as you and I have talked about the gun laws, I feel like I'm, as a civilian, I'm about as informed as you can be. And I watched this and I thought, well, they're no longer a threat. They have left. He's no longer in danger. Nobody else is in danger. This looks to me like he is now the assailant. Like, that's an attempted homicide. Even if he's shooting into the ground, which I guess is what happened, it seems like charges would be forthcoming, but you're not charging him. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, we're not charging. We talk a lot about reasonableness, and as you just mentioned, you and I have this conversation all the time. Rehashing a little bit of the video, there are a total of about five kids, or I say kids, young men, that are involved in an altercation with the store clerk, and he's clearly just trying to do his job right. That's the first thing that we looked at, and there you can hear some threats coming outside and that sort of thing. And what you're seeing is some of these go back and forth inside and outside of the door.
Okay.
And so we don't see that where they're going to. Apparently, according to the clerk, that one or two of them would go back to the car at some point and then come back in. And then he felt like they were at their trunk and they may be retrieving a gun based upon all of that's taking place. So then he pulls his gun, and as he walks out towards the store, you can only see a couple of those men. You can't see all of them. So we don't know what the others were doing. And we saw nothing that would conflict with what he's saying, that he felt like the others were going to the trunk to get his gun. So if you look at that, to me, the tie goes to the runner. The store clerk is doing his job. He is sitting there trying to help others, cashing other people out, while these guys are coming here, giving him a hard time, threatening him in and out. 5-on-1 is never a good odds.
Right.
So I think it's reasonable to think that you know, you might need something to help and protect yourself. To go out there, to leave behind the counter was what we looked at. You know, you could have stayed behind there, but who's to say that those people weren't going to come back in? You know, after we go to their car, he has a better view of them in the parking lot than we did. And the video does not show what happens in the parking lot at the car.
And if they come back in, now the customers are in jeopardy as well, potentially.
Yeah, and now you got more than, you know, 3 or 4-on-1, 5-on-1 potentially. And then again, his fear was that one of them or two of them had a gun. And again, 5-on-1 itself, whether they had a gun or not, is reason to fear for your own safety or that of someone else. So and I looked at it, and it just didn't seem right. I'll be honest. I felt like all this stuff adding up, the totality of the circumstance, it didn't seem right to make the store clerk, who was doing his job working, to put a felony charge on him, to make him a felon over something like that. And again, whether I feel Chip Simmons decides, you know, that he shouldn't be arrested or not, we still looked at the circumstance. We still looked at the fact that what he's saying is consistent with what we see on the video up to the point of him firing the weapon.
Right.
And what happened as he's firing the weapon, that is what we have to go by, the witness statements and or, you know, the clerk's statement. And the other individuals didn't wish to pursue charges. So, we took all that into consideration, and we decided that charges would not be...
Well, that's right. To me, I'm satisfied, of course, with that explanation. That makes sense to me, everything that we've ever talked about. And it's kind of what I tried to say at the time is, based on the one video, this is what it seems like. But I am sure the investigators have more information and a more comprehensive review. And that's what I'm glad to have. So,
well, and witnesses, just to be clear, right. Witnesses and a clerk said that a suspect got a gun. There was a couple people that made that comment to our investigators.
And if they're armed, especially if they've become armed, then right. The circumstances have changed significantly at that point. And that makes perfect sense to me. Last thing we always like to do is end with a little safety tip from the sheriff. Do you have one for us this week?
Well, we have a couple of reports every month where someone tries to exchange commerce. So they buying something, selling something, and then they meet at some location and end up getting robbed or ripped off or stolen from. And we just want to remind people that we have safe exchange zones at the sheriff's office. We have a sign in front of our larger precincts that you can come and you can exchange, you can meet there. If you call someone and say, hey, I want to buy your PlayStation or something, and they say, okay, fine, let's meet somewhere, because you don't want to meet at your house or that sort of thing, mm-hmm. Tell them to meet them at the sheriff's office parking lot. We have a sign for that specifically for a safe exchange, commerce exchange. And if they, for some reason, don't want to meet at the sheriff's office, then don't buy that brand right. new PlayStation for right. $20. That's not don't do that.
Right.
Because but we do have an opportunity for people to come, and we don't even mind if they exchange, you know, do custody exchanges at the sheriff's office parking lot.
Well, that's all good information, and certainly those can be high tension as well, as we very well know with the case in Santa Rosa County.
Right.
You know how that can be dangerous. So good safety advice, Sheriff Chip Simmons. As always, thank you, sir. Thanks so much for the time. Thanks for doing, and man, continued Godspeed on this Blazer Academy that y'all are pursuing. It's fantastic.
You bet. Y'all take care.